Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Good Thursday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. The Commerce Department today says that the U.S. trade deficit climbed to the highest level in 5 months in February as demand for American exports fell while imports increased slightly. The trade deficit increased to $42.3 billion, 7.7% above the January imbalance of $39.3 billion. U.S. exports slipped 1.1%. to $190.4 billion, imports edged up 0.4% to $232.7 billion. China's leaders have unveiled a mini-stimulus aimed at shoring up sputtering growth in the world's number two economy. Under the measures, small businesses will get bigger tax breaks. Social housing will be built to replace shanty towns, and railway construction will be sped up. Four congressmen have asked the Environmental Protection Agency to provide additional information on the challenges of implementation of the renewable fuels standard mandate. The letter asks for EPA to outline where in statute the agency is provided with the authority to act now to reduce the renewable fuels obligations, and what is the cause for action that is allowed under the statute. The RFS mandate is scheduled to increase each year until 2022, but the EPA proposed reducing the mandate for 2014 from the statute requirement of 18.1 billion gallons to 15.2 billion gallons. That proposal is still under discussion. This morning, USDA reported export sales for the week ending March 27th. They look like this in millions of bushels. Wheat this year, 12.4. Next year, 11.4. Corn this year, 37.8. Next year, 1.5. Soybeans this year, 2.4. Next year, 0.7. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading at 16,525. It's up 38 points. The NASDAQ, 36.61, up 3.5. The S&P 500 is 1886. And it is up 3.25 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Showers and thunderstorms are still prevalent across a fair amount of the Midwest this morning. We're likely to see that continuing during the day today, but we're going to see two different regions of precipitation as we move through the afternoon and overnight tonight, and they'll be rather interesting in their differences. The first will be in the upper parts of the Midwest, where a wintry mix of precipitation, both rain and snow, will occur during the course of the day today, but as we go into the night tonight, heavy snow will likely evolve. This will be from eastern portions, or maybe I should say northeastern portions of Nebraska and eastern South Dakota, across the far northwest corner of Iowa into the heart of Minnesota and far northwestern Wisconsin. These areas could end up with a very impressive snow event for a several-hour period. We could end up quickly accumulating 4 to 10 inches of snow across parts of the region, and there could be some strong wind as well, causing blowing and drifting and near blizzard conditions. The good news about this event is it will occur at night, primarily, so there will not be quite as much of a disruption for travel for the daytime. But with that said, tomorrow morning will certainly be a mess across much of that region, specifically in Minnesota and the northwest part of Wisconsin. In contrast to that, showers and thunderstorms will be working their way through the eastern parts of the Midwest, with some lower portions of the region expecting to see moderate to heavy amounts of rainfall. We could see some 1 to 2 inch totals in several locations, and that is going to occur development from a couple of waves of precipitation that will occur both today and again tomorrow. We do expect the two-day totals to be impressive in the lower parts of the Midwest, and the setback in field working opportunities will be rather significant. We'll see drier air work its way into Kansas and Missouri fairly quickly as we go through this first 24-hour period, and that drier air will then move across much of the Midwest from west to east as we go through the day Friday and into early Saturday morning. We'll have dry weather with us for another day or so, but another storm system is expected to form down near the Gulf of Mexico coast in areas near the Delta, and that storm center will then work its way northeastward, passing through most of the southeastern and mid-Atlantic states. But in the process of doing so, some rain will return to the lower portions of the eastern Midwest, and areas coming up out of southeastern Missouri and southern Illinois over to Ohio and southeastern Michigan will have yet another wave of rain. This will occur primarily during the course of the day on Sunday, maybe going into Monday morning as well. The additional moisture will run anywhere from 3/10 to 8/10 of an inch, so maybe some localized amounts getting up over an inch again. And that on top of the rain that will occur today and tomorrow morning will likely keep the ground saturated in many areas. So the prospects for getting into the fields in the lower parts of the Midwest is relatively low right now for this first week of the outlook. Maybe some areas in Kansas or western Missouri might have an opportunity to start working some fields since their weather will be improved much quicker and it will not be involved with the storm system that occurs later this weekend in the eastern Midwest. Well, we are expecting to see next week's weather perhaps get a little bit better with warmer temperatures and less precipitation occurring across the Midwest during a fair amount of the week, and that's going to be the time period when field work will likely resume for those areas that are not still excessively wet. The temperature outlook across the region is favorable for today. In the lower parts of the Midwest, we'll see 60 and 70 degree temperatures. Tomorrow, the cooler air from the northwest will overspread a larger portion of the region. We'll look for many areas having highs tomorrow in the 30s and 40s northwest and probably in the 50s in the southeast. There may still be some warm air, though, in Ohio and southeastern parts of Indiana during the day tomorrow. After that, 40 and 50 degree temperatures will be common on Saturday. Sunday we'll see 50s and lower 60s, and the same will occur on Monday. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for agricultural weather on WILL comes from Busey. Busey is proud to reinvest in our communities, one project at a time, with financial guidance and support to volunteers and community leaders. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's go ahead and see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter May wheat is 743.5, up 4.5. July, 749.5, up 7.25. Soft May, 675.25. Now 75 even, up 5.75. July, 680.75, up 5.75. May corn, 499.25, up 3.5. July, 504.25, up 3.25. December, $5, up 3. May soybeans, 1476.5, up 14.25. July, 1452.5, up 11.25. November, 1203.5, up 5.5. May soybean meal, 480.70, up 420. May soybean oil, 41.64, up 79. April live cattle, 145.20, up 60. April feeders, 177.57.5, up 35. April lean hogs, 126.07.5, and they're down 92.5. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of Ag Review. She is in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning to you, Dave, from rainy Morton, Illinois.
And that rain might be something that's providing a little underlying support for the markets today.
I would think so. They certainly want to talk about how late the spring's going to be, and with a 2-inch rain forecast for this area, it'll be later than what we saw a week ago.
I guess the question that I would have for you is, now that the quarterly grain stocks report is behind us and we're beginning to put a pencil to the paper for implied U.S. ending stocks off of that report, we look forward to next week's WASDE report, and that, I guess, would be about the final piece in the puzzle before we go to the fields in seriousness, wouldn't it?
I think it probably will, unless things are extremely delayed, and then the May report we'll still be looking forward to. I would anticipate, we got some pretty friendly numbers out of the grain stocks report and really even out of the planting intentions report, and it's going to be hard to maintain that with USDA's bent to keep ending stocks at a reasonable level, particularly on the bean side.
Well, I look at the corn. If you look at it technically, you can make a case for 525, but you need some fundamentals to push it, I would think.
I would think so. I really am closing in on a dime higher or 15 cents higher on the nearby May corn, seeing our first line of resistance in that 512 to 515 range. We're spanning the $5 price tag on the May and the December corn with a little bit more money on the July. I think that we are seeing some farmer selling of corn. We are seeing some light commercial buying support this market. So both of those things are promising signs that, at least on the export side and the ethanol side, the demand remains pretty strong.
Thank you, Ellen. That's Ellen Dearden of AgriView, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace, May corn, 499 and three quarters, up four. December, $5 and a quarter, up three and a quarter. May soybeans, 1477 and three quarters, up 15 and a half. Novi's, 1204, up six. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL, 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana.